You know, there are times when the Lord just makes his presence so known that I find myself questioning what next steps are. Did you experience his presence? Well, that was pretty good, wasn't it? You know, he hasn't stopped moving, and he didn't stop when the musicians walked off. Great worship today, by the way. But the Lord wants to, he really wants to refresh you. We can get stale. We can get dry. We can get crusty. And we're in need of something that's beyond logic. I don't know much about moisturizing lotions, but I'm told they work. In fact, I must have pretty rough hands because for the two Christmases in a row, my sister-in-law has given me something to soften my hands. And all I tell her is preaching is hard work. But you know, that stuff, I've not used it yet. I got two brand new cans of that stuff. In fact, I just moved it a little farther out of my sight this week. I don't want to feel guilty about not using a gift. But there's something that happens as we go about our lives. And there's a depletion that comes in the natural sense. So if my hands get rough, it's because I really haven't paid attention to moisturize them or do what's necessary to bring back the original intent. I want you to think about your spiritual life in that way. There are things that we allow into our lives that rob us of the freshness of the Holy Spirit. The newness. And until we really experience that anointing that only God's presence brings, that we don't find that we ever change much. But there's a refreshing in the Spirit that's available for God's people. And I don't know if you've experience this dry, crusty, whatever. If you have before, maybe you know what I'm talking about. If you have today, maybe you see the need for the massaging of the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we can be fresh. See, God wants us to be ready in season and out of season. He wants us willing to step into his confidence, not ours. He wants us to be willing to step into his power, not ours. He wants us to be able to step into his anointing, not ours. He wants us to step into his strength, not ours. He wants us to step into his abilities, not ours. And far too often we think that we've got to have the confidence in ourselves and we've got to have the power in ourselves and the anointing and the strength and the abilities, but we forget that it is something that comes from above. And he wants to pour that out on his people so that his people look like him, minister like him, treat people like he does, love like he does, communicate like he does. And in our own strength, we won't do that. We just won't. We'll find a place of comfort and we'll begin to live out of that comfort, totally forgetting that God wants to do something supernatural through us. He's a supernatural God. And therefore, he wants his followers to walk in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. He hasn't called us to an ordinary life. He hasn't called us to this just get by life. But he's called us to be an overcomer, to be more than a conqueror, to be ones that would mirror who Jesus is. And as we think about the attributes of God, we can find ourselves falling short. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't. I do many times when I look at where God, what God, how God operates and what God looks like and how I'm operating and what I am replicating is many times not the same. But he's got a power that he wants to pour into his people. A fresh power that he wants to pour into you. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, I've asked for the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, why do I have to ask for something else? Well, the truth is that we leak. And the Spirit of God, as we adapt the world's ways, just begins to kind of seep out of us. But God wants to fill us up to overflowing so that even there is a compensation, even when there's a little leakage, that we are way above where we need to be, that we would walk in the fullness of His Spirit. And for the days ahead, the days aren't going to be easy. The days of we call easy Christianity, I think, are over. But it doesn't mean that we've got to, that we should step back and take a breather. No. Time is of the essence. There should be an urgency in us to talk about what Jesus can do. Anytime we're out in the world, we meet people that are products of the world, and they are experiencing things that the world throws at them. And we have the answer. We are people of God, which means we know what the answer is. We need to live the answer. We need to be equipped with God's things. We talked last week a little bit about prayer and fasting. Today I want to talk, for a few moments about faith. It's important that we be people of faith. It's important that we pay attention to our faith life. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:1 what faith is. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is a position of viewing. I want you to think about it that way. How we look at things. If you remember back in the book of Numbers, where the spies were going out to look at the land, they went out into the promised land, and most of them saw giants and hard situations, and they saw defeat if they were to go in. All these things, they saw it as being a place that we don't have any authority over. And there was two that saw things from a position of faith. They saw the same things that these people, the other spies saw, but they saw it through the lens of God. I would call it the lens of faith. The Amplified says, faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Listen to the Message version. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Faith is a handle of what we don't see. Joshua and Caleb looked into the land, saw the same giants, saw the big armies, but they grab hold of the handle of what they could not see. And their report back to Moses was, oh, we can do this. We got it. That's my paraphrase, obviously. We got this. There are two important things about faith that we need to know. First, the fact of what faith does. Faith, Hebrews 11:6, first part of that verse, it's impossible to please God without faith. It pleases God when we see things through the eyes of faith. As a follower of Jesus, we must do whatever we can to please God. He is the one we need to please. The second fact we see in James 2:17, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. So as a follower of Jesus, our faith in God must produce God deeds. Faith, it must be active in our life. What does it mean for faith to be active? It means when we see things through the eyes of faith, that we are able to communicate what we see. Caleb and Joshua firmly communicated what they saw, as everybody else said, it is an impossible situation. There's no way we're going to do anything for good for God in that land. But Joshua and Caleb saw it through the eyes of faith. And because they saw it through the eyes of faith, guess what their position was? We can take them. Oh, this is not impossible. And until the people of God get to the place that they can look through the lens of faith, and come from the perspective that with God we can do this, that I'm not sure that we're ever going to see a real victory in our faith walk. See, it has to change how we see things. It can't just be that we think these thoughts. It has to change our behavior. The faith life has to be tangible. Think about the story of Noah. God told him, listen, the world is a mess, and I'm going to wipe it out. But I'm going to keep you and your wife and your sons and their wives, and a male and female of every animal. So I want you to build a boat. Now, Noah could have said, well, that's a great idea, God, and do nothing. But it immediately, the Bible says that he did everything God asked of him. And we know, if you know the story, that he built a boat. It wasn't just a small boat either. It was a big boat, an ark. So what if Noah had just said, well, that's a good thought, but didn't see things through the lens of faith? You know, there are instances in the Bible, and there are certainly instances where God deals with me that I'll spend my time telling God how I can't do what he's told me to do. That's not the eyes of faith. That's the eyes of rebellion. That's the eyes of disobedience. But Noah got right to it, and he started building the ark. Now, granted, you need to understand this. He said, I'm going to flood the earth. They hadn't even had rain. What's a flood would be my question to God. What's a flood? But there's no account of Noah going back to God with anything other than, I see things the way you are seeing things. And my faith is going to be active. I'm going to do something about it. There are many people that have a hard time separating the idea of what is faith from positive confession. There's a lot of difference. Positive confessions are just words that sound good. They might change your mood, but they're not going to change anything. But speaking things through the eyes of faith, through God, changes everything. And I love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you remember that story, they told King Nebuchadnezzar, you can go and throw us in that fire. That's okay. But we're not going to bow down to these idols. Our God will save us. But even if he doesn't rescue us out of the fire, we're never going to do that. Most of us, when we see an option, we'll gravitate toward that option. And therefore, leaving God's best. Think about that with Noah. If he had not followed every bit of that instruction, we wouldn't have the story that we have to go back to. But Noah was able to see. He knew that the world was, and in fact, the Message version says it this way: God saw that the world was a sewer. Noah knew that. There was nobody else righteous but Noah. It didn't even say that his family was righteous. It said Noah was. So it'd be good to be in Noah's family, wouldn't it? But Noah put his faith into action. And it was part of God's plan. When God asks us to do something, as absurd as it may seem, it's part of his plan. God is not going to ask you to do something that's not part of his plan. So the quicker we get on board, the better off we are. If you're like me, I'll hem-haw around looking for another option that I might could convince God would be just as good. Maybe you don't do that, but I do that. But then when I begin to look through the lens of faith, when I grab hold of the handle of the unseen, then I can see what God is seeing. Do we ever see everything? I don't think we do on this side of heaven. But I do believe that God gives us part. In fact, the Bible tells us that even prophets prophesy in part. They don't even see everything. So God gives us glimpses of those things. The interesting thing about it is you can allow fear to come in and it will deplete your faith. Fear is a strong emotion. And I love the song that we ended with, that we're never alone. You know, when we're around God, when God is with us, we have nothing to fear. That's how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could talk with such great confidence. Listen, you can throw us into that furnace. Our God's going to save us. They really didn't know how he was going to save them. But they knew they were in his hands. And when we have the correct vantage point of looking through God's eyes, through the lens of God, that we begin to see what he sees. One of my favorite stories about faith in action is in Matthew 14, starting in verse 24. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up against them, and they were battered by the waves. About 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came walking on the water. They were scared to death. "A ghost," they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to comfort them. "Courage! It's me. Don't be afraid." Peter, suddenly bold, said, "Master, if it's really you, call me to come where you are, come to you on the water." He said, "Come ahead." Jesus said, "Come ahead." Peter jumped, he's jumping out of the boat. That's his step of action. I would call it a leap of action. Peter walked on the water to Jesus. But when he looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and he started to sink. See, he disengaged his faith. He began looking through a natural lens and not the supernatural lens. And he cried, "Master, save me." And Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and he grabbed his hand. And he said, "Faint heart, what got into you?" So how do we build our faith? Reminding ourselves how much we're loved by God. It's just that simple. When we know that we're loved by God, our faith in what he says and his plan gets stronger. And when we know that we never walk alone, it's easier to have faith. When I know that he's right there, Peter was going to sink. And he cried out. The moment he cried out, Jesus answered, "I got you." And he did bring him to a teaching moment. What got into you? Meaning, keep your eyes on me, look at things through my vantage point, and you're going to do supernatural things. But the moment you move your attention off of me, I'm speaking from Jesus' standpoint, move your attention off of me, the waves can begin to stir up fear in your life. Fear paralyzes. Faith propels. Think about that. Fear is the very thing that the enemy uses to disengage us, to discourage us, to cause us to be disappointed. But it's just the opposite with God. Faith propels us. When we remind ourselves how much we're loved by God, our faith is built. When we remind ourselves how much we are loved, we can have faith for the impossible. Peter felt the love of God calling him into the water. If that's you, Jesus, call me, I'll come. It's the love of God that drew him. The power of God. See, you can't separate the love of God from the power of God. It is the strongest power. The second way that we can build our faith is by reading the reviews. Hebrews 11 gives us a glimpse. Here's a few examples from Hebrews chapter 11. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. By an act of faith, the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. See, to believe the world created by God takes faith. Because actually the world wants you to believe just the opposite. That it was some kind of big, crazy explosion and all this happened. Well, it probably was an explosion when God spoke these words of creation out, but it was divinely planned. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely, just went right up. That'd be a good way to go, wouldn't it? Unless you're afraid of heights. It'd be a good way just to step into heaven. By an act of faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of a dry land. It just never been a ship before. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. By an act of faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant, old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the one who made a promise would do what he said he'd do. Each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How'd they do it? They saw it way off in a distance. They saw it through the eyes of faith. They waived their greeting and they accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. See, the moment we live our lives with just a natural lens, we are not going to think about where we're really headed. But the Bible says that we are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's tremendous. So that's the lens that we look at. This continues. People who live this way make it plain that they're looking for their true home. When you begin to keep heaven in sight, you're telling people that you are watching for your true home. If they were homesick for the old country, They could have gone back any time they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that. Heaven country. You can see why God was so proud of them. He has a city waiting for them. We're part of that. That is in a part of our heritage. When we remind ourselves what God has done in the past, our faith is built. When we remind ourselves what God has done in the past, we can have faith for the impossible. You see, the truth is, seeing the manifestation of what we're having faith for isn't the litmus test. The litmus test is having faith in the one who loves us no matter what. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, listen, it doesn't matter what you do to us. You're not going to shake us. You're not going to cause us to walk away from our God. No, our faith is in Him, not you. The psalmist writes this in 118:6, the Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? I love that word, mere people. When many times the enemy uses people in our life to cause us to be fearful, when the Bible says they're just mere people, they're nothing as compared to the power that's available to us. In other words, my faith is in my Lord. My faith is not in mankind. My faith is not in the situation that I'm in. My faith is in God who will deliver me. My faith is not in the doctor's diagnosis or even the doctor. My faith is in the one who created me. And if He can create me, He can fix me. My faith is not in that, but it's in the Creator. Listen to the words of Jesus speaking to His disciples about faith in Matthew 17, starting in verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive out that demon? We talked about that last week. He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you that you have faith. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible for you. When I was young, when we wanted to buy gas, we'd pull up to the gas station, pull up to the pump, and the attendant would come out and ask you what you needed, and you'd say, well, I want $1 worth, or I want $5 worth, or whatever. You know, we could ride forever on $5 when I was a teenager. But anyway, but then occasionally, right at payday, we'd say, fill her up. Fill her up. And we want to be full of faith. And maybe that is our prayer. Oh, God, I don't want to stay at quarter tank. I don't want to stay at a fourth or a half or three quarters. I want a full tank. And He says, all you need is a faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, if you don't know how small that is, you need to go look it up. It is like the dot of the pencil. The end of the point of the pencil. Barely being seen. And that just shows you the power of God. All we need is a little bit of faith. And engage that faith into action. That you grab the handle of the unseen. You don't just say, well, it's out there. I liken that whole scenario as like putting your car into gear. If you don't put it into gear, it's never going to go. If you put it in the wrong gear, the R, you're going to go backwards. But if you put it in a forward gear and take your foot off the brake, you're going to start moving. And I see that like our faith. Causing our faith to be in gear. You don't have to have a full tank. Jesus says all you have to do is have a little bit of faith and really understand who your faith is in It's not in the situation. It's not even in the outcome. It's in Him. That's all it takes. But what if we were to be so aware of our faith level that whenever we would be low, that we would come to our Heavenly Father and simply say, fill her up. God, I remind myself how much you love me. I don't understand it, but I remind myself of that. And then I remind myself of all these forefathers, and by faith they accomplished great things. And Lord, I know I've even seen that in my own life as I've applied faith. Lord, I remind myself of your track record. I remind myself of your reviews. And Lord, I wish that I didn't doubt. I wish that I would just not doubt. I wish that I would just not grab hold of fear. But if you remember the prayer of the father from the demon-possessed boy from last week, he wanted his son delivered in the worst way. And he wanted to have faith. And he said, Lord Jesus, help my unbelief. In other words, I need help with my faith. Lord, fill me up. See, there's no shame at all in needing anything from Jesus. The facts are, he wants to help. He loves us being dependent upon him. He loves us needing him. He doesn't want us to live without him. So maybe you ask yourself, where am I in this faith walk? Is faith dormant in my life, or is it active? Does faith show up in my life, or am I a secret agent? See, if you're lacking faith that's active, you've got to remember how much God loves you. Once you remember how much he loves you and what he gave for you, you begin to have your faith built. Wait a minute. I wasn't an accident. Wait a minute. I was created on purpose. Wait a minute. I was created in his image. Oh, wait a minute. God wants to use me. All of a sudden, that's what thinking about the love of God begins to unpack that. And all of a sudden, you are believing what God has said. Did anything change in your natural situation? No, it didn't. It could at any juncture. But we are not going to wait on that before we begin to engage our faith. God's track record is flawless. He has never not come through. And he's never not come through in your life. Sometimes you feel like God didn't come through. Well, he didn't come through the way you wanted him to, or the way you told him you'd like for him to. But God is a faithful God. And we've got to remember how much he loves us, and then we begin to remember and remind ourselves the reviews. And remember, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to do a whole lot of something in the name of God. If you just have enough faith of the end of a pencil point, you can do the hard stuff. You can do the supernatural stuff. See, do you need to pay attention to your faith life? It's not just a given that you're going to accidentally activate your faith. No, it is just like when you get in your car in a few minutes. You put it into gear. You won't go anywhere until you put it into gear. If you want to go somewhere with your faith life, you got to put it into gear. And your tank may be low, but it doesn't take much to get enough faith to do miracles. And see, that is what our God has asked us to do. He asked us to carry on after Jesus, to lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover, to cast out demons. Listen, there is a whole bunch of mess out in this world. And to quote Jesus out of the, God out of the Message version, the world is a sewer. It's a mess. And he's promised never to do what he did in Noah's life. But he wants us desperately to be people of faith, to engage our faith, to be active in our faith. And listen, when you are active in your faith, it changes things around you. Noah didn't pretend to build a boat. He trusted God and he built a boat. What if he didn't do it? I'm so glad that there's not a book written about me and my failings in the things of God. It would make up a pretty big book of how many things that Brian's supposed to do that he didn't, because he failed to engage faith. He failed to look at things through the lens of God. And I only saw the things in the natural. But God has not created us as citizens of heaven to be bound by the natural. He wants us to go into the lands that he has in front of us and see things through the eyes of faith. And see things. How do you want me to move in this area? And I'm going to jump into it like Peter did. And I'm going to do my best not to look at the waves or the surroundings. I'm going to keep my eyes on you, Jesus. But that's a discipline that you've got to have. Some of you are going to not do it well the first time. But you know what happens when you do things over and over and over and over again, and you begin to bring the knowledge of experience of what has made it not work before? That happens in the natural. That happens in the spirit realm. Because Susan and I have stood in faith in many things over our lives, there are now things that aren't hard to engage our faith on. Doesn't mean that there aren't things that is hard. But because we have seen God move over and over and over again and show up where we didn't expect him and give us a different outcome than we ever looked at, we don't struggle with that in the small things. But maybe when the storm is really raging and Jesus asks us to step over the side of the boat, we might have a conversation. Are you sure? But I want to be one that would immediately put my faith into gear that produces an action, and God is glorified. God is glorified. That's what it's all about. It's not about us making any headway of getting any kind of credibility or anything. No, it's bringing glory to God. And that's what the faith walk should do. It should bring glory to God, that we would step out into the unknown and engage our faith like never before. We look at situations that people are going through and we say, that looks hopeless. That means we're looking at it through the lens of the natural. But when we look through it with the eyes of faith, we see great potential. In fact, the Bible tells us that he can do more than we can ever dream up in our wildest dreams. We put limitations on God so many times. I don't want to do that. I want to see things through the eyes of God. And that doesn't mean that I'm always going to be perfect in it. But I want my heart to be ready to jump into the water over the side as I walk toward Jesus, as I go toward what he wants to have for me, as I go toward the things that he's prepared for me. I don't want to lag. I don't want to wait. I don't want to discuss it. I don't want to try to talk him out of it. I want to be one that is fearless in the things of God, and that faith would propel me into these situations that God would get so much glory. See, I believe that's what a full tank of faith looks like. When we're willing to jump over the side to follow Jesus no matter what, when we're willing to be thrown into a furnace, when we're willing to lay down and not fight against people as they're stoning us, as we are willing to do whatever it takes for the message of Jesus to go forward, That's how God gets glory. And that's the glorious church. And that's who he's coming back for. The church. His body. He's coming back for his body. And he wants none to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants every single one of his creations to choose him and live a life of faith. So as you start this new year, yeah, pay attention to your prayer life. Pay attention to your fasting component. But pay attention to your faith life. Pay attention to how fast you are to speak what God says about a situation rather than what you think or what culture says or what even a book would say. Now, it would be fast to say, but my God says this. Years ago, we had a guy that would come through from Australia many times, and Clark Taylor, some of you may remember him, but he would say this a lot. The facts are, but the truth is. The facts are, it looks pretty bad out in the world, but the truth is that the message of Jesus is stronger than anything the world has to offer. Right? The facts are, but the truth is, God is truth. His ways are truth. And we need to engage our faith to God's truth to bring him glory. Amen. Hey, let's pray.